Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's our Sunday show here on KSEV in Houston. And for those of you that are listening further away, we're glad you can join us. And we try to interject news from the other markets that we're in, be it Phoenix or San Antonio or Seattle or San Bernardino, Riverside, L.A., and but we are based in Houston, and Texas is a hotbed for the type of real estate private partnerships we discuss and other real estate investments. There's a lot of niches within the overall real estate umbrella, and at the moment at least, and for really the last 50-60 years, real estate has played a prominent role in wealth creation. In fact, I think I've forgotten the statistic, but it's, I believe, at least 60-70% of the world's millionaires did it pretty much with real estate. And I know that a lot of the Forbes 400 say that, but including our favorite president, right, Mr. Donald Trump, and I know that he's probably one of the icons of success in the commercial real estate arena, although I'm not sure that it was predominantly apartments, which is what we focus on, or multifamily. I know he did a lot of multifamily, but I believe his father was pretty much the multifamily king in New York, or at least going back in the day. But in any event, for those of you that listen to us from week to week, you know that just because you hear our show and you like some of the strategies, or you'd like to consider participating in some of the real estate private partnerships we discuss, you know, get a second opinion to confirm or deny what you thought you heard. Let's make sure it fits your facts and circumstances. And if you don't have current advisors you can go to and discuss such matters, feel free to go to our website and look at the top right, I believe it is, and you'll see a link to forms, which is contains four different steps to completing forms. You don't need to do all four. If you are interested at all, just try to fill out the first one. The first one is kind of a longer all-around form. Gives us a high-level view of you and your family's objectives. And then if you've got the time and would like more specific answers involving how you might deploy your retirement funds, and fill out the second step. And then if you're interested in tax strategies, go ahead and fill out the third and fourth. That would be a individual tax profile and a business tax profile if you own or manage a business. But in any event, just because you're listening, that doesn't make you a client. And you got to connect with us, and we need to get some information about your facts and circumstances. And then we're happy to entertain a call, which you can also schedule right there at the top of our website. And we'll be happy to spend some time on the phone with you at that point and try to determine how we might sync up with your needs. And again, for those of you that listen to us ongoing, you realize that we have a resource page on our By the way, our website was I totally forgot to explain that. The website to get access to our intake forms and call scheduler is BAPlanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And we do have a companion website, which you can get to either by going to BAPlanner.com and clicking the show link, or you can go right to BAPlannerShow.com and you'll see a resources page link on the top right. And if you'll click that, it'll take you to recent news articles, some of which require a paid subscription, or some it's just a registration. But bottom line is these are relevant to the topic of real estate or commercial real estate or interest rates, cap rates. Just go down the list, and we try to provide interesting articles, and unfortunately some of them are behind a paywall, but even the paywalls have exceptions and will allow so many free articles typically before they make you pay, or depending on the topic, it may be free regardless. I've never understood how the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and publications such as this that charge subscriptions, at times they provide free ones, and very helpful. But in any event, let's talk about a few of the articles here before we go to the first break here in a few minutes. First one is, I thought, just kind of an interesting Texas thing, that the town that was constructed for a Willie Nelson movie, I believe it was The Red-Headed Stranger, I was just pulling up that article, is interesting in that they have kind of revived, a real estate developer has revived it, and they're selling, appears they're going to be selling homes there, which I don't know if you've ever wanted to live on a movie set or what used to be a movie set. That was, I tell you, this dates me. It appeared in the 1986 film Red-Headed Stranger. How many of you remember that, right? I had just started practicing as a CPA, I guess, 2 or 3 years earlier. It's painful to think that that's been a 40-year period of time. And you know, as I've said many times, where did it go? And in any event, we are living in a on many fronts, a incredibly incredible and unusual time, and so much going on in the world that affects what we're doing as investors and syndicators, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, we'll talk more about that momentarily. Let's see. I had an article here that, let me get my list here. Yeah, the second article, for those of you that live in San Antonio, and, you know, that's where both of my, well, several of my commercial real estate properties are, and, you know, I have to say I wasn't aware of this news. Maybe it's the first time it's been released, but McCombs, you know, which is a real estate development group that Red McCombs was part of at one time before he passed, I think a couple years ago, has a $295 million development in their sites. They're planning it, so I'm sure that means, provided they get the $35 million abatement of some sort, probably taxes, that will go up at the Pearl, as we call it, which is on the Museum Reach section of the Riverwalk. It's a very hot area, kind of like where my properties are down on the Mission Reach, part of the Riverwalk that encompasses everything from the, I believe it's five missions from the Alamo on down. Gee, I can't remember the last one just on the other side of 410, but it's a lengthy patch of walkway slash bike path all the way down. It's quite spectacular as a resource. But anyway, McCombs is going to develop a 5.9-acre site. It purchased from the utility, the electric company there in town, CPS Energy, and sounds like it'll be as spectacular as many developments that have gone before them there in the Pearl area. In addition, this article, the third article for today, reveals the top 10 issues that affect or impact real estate. And I want to delve into that a little bit when we get back from the break. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll come back here in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com. Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And if you're looking for someone to help you navigate the complexities and intricacies of real estate private partnerships, feel free to connect with us. It's what we do. We enjoy what we do. And as I am reminded by one of the local leaders of one of the real estate investor slash mentor platforms. You know, he claims that there's a CPA out there talking about syndications on the radio that charges a lot more money than what he charges and for you to join the platform. And I guess, first of all, I'd appreciate it if he wouldn't diminish the level of our fees. I think he refers to a $50,000 number, and I'll just tell you that, you know, may fit certain clients. We don't bill clients the same as he does, by the way, regardless of the value involved. You know, we look at how much value gets created as a result of our strategies or our guidance in you picking transactions for us to review and help you understand what you're signing up for. But I'll tell you this, every time I hear somebody complain about fees, I'm oft reminded of my favorite oil well firefighter that ever lived, from Houston, in fact, Mr. Red Adair. And Red Adair used to say, "You think the professionals are expensive, see how much the amateurs cost you." And I'm going to remind you of that. Said syndication platform has had several transactions that either have gone under or are likely on their way. And I would suggest to you, I don't care if they give you a membership for free. If you lose your money, which it appears to be the case, I don't know, maybe the syndicator or syndicators involved will pull a rabbit out of their hat, or maybe they'll do the right thing, which if you're an investor in those transactions, you ought to demand that they restore in part or totally your investment out of some of the profits they're going to make from the other transactions they're in. And, you know, again, I can say, at least to this point in time, we had no clients that were invested in those transactions that platform's having problems with. And I'm not saying that we're clairvoyant. We're certainly not magicians. We're accountants. But we understand how to analyze the metrics, the pro forma information that you get on every one of these transactions, and we'll call out bad pro formas. We will explain, hey, that seems like a pretty low cap rate at exit based on what we think is coming. And I know that may be like a foreign language to some of you listening, but I'll just tell you, the cap rate sensitivity is huge right now. And if your projected or pro forma cap rate is too low, the odds of you getting your money back on the back end, which is when most transactions provide it. But of course, this the leader of this syndication platform has said on the air, you don't need to look at those deal documents. You don't need to look at those pro formas. Why would you do that? What do you fear? This was before transactions had started to crater, by the way. But that's the reason you want to understand what you're signing up for. And you want to ask the syndicator, what's going to happen if maybe you undertake a rate lock on your mortgage rate that's not adequate? And finally, you get up above, interest rates go up like they have above some of the rate locks that were deployed. Or maybe your due diligence didn't pan out as well as you thought, which I'll tell you right now, one of the best syndicators in the history of the U.S., only syndicator that's won the National Apartment Association Owner of the Year Award twice, and I know some listeners know exactly who I'm referring to, he's had a deal go under. People lost their money. And to date, I don't believe he's offered to make people whole, which I don't know. I know it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's not easy medicine to take. But if you want credibility and you want to have the fee stream that the transactions that he undertakes provide him, you need to step up and give people some of their money back at such point as you can. And again, this is the reason you don't throw confetti at the outset when you're doing your initial investment seminar, which I happened to catch on this particular project. And it's like, man, do those things stick in your memory later when those transactions go under. So I don't know. Everybody has hardship. There's very few people that I work with, and I want it that way. I want people to have some hardship in life, because if they haven't had that, they don't understand when things get tight. But it's not necessarily as much, you know, if you react, it's how you react when you're the leader and you're put in those situations. Anyway, so speaking of things that might affect your investment as you ponder and consider new opportunities, and let me tell you, there's opportunities when the market goes up, there's opportunities when the market goes down, and in fact, one might argue the opportunities are even more lucrative in the down market, because the seller doesn't have quite the control in many cases. Now, you may not know that they've got the stress of a mandatory refinance coming in 6 months, and they've got to sell, so you don't know how to dial that in. But there are ways of trying to identify. I mean, there's typically always debt still on a large multifamily property, but if you can find out enough about what the facts are that are driving the discussion on and the decision to try to sell, you may realize that there's more potential profit there if you've got your capital available, kept your powder dry through the first part of the downturn, and boy, there's some real transactions, real deals going on transactions out there right now, but a lot primarily in the office market, you know, 60% type discounts over even just 2 or 3 years ago valuations. But even the multifamily market, what's happened, and my associate Dan Dubose and I, by the way, shout out to Dan. He's trying to recover from staying up late a bunch of nights in a row working on Monday's deadline. So anyway, as Dan and I have pointed out, the low cap rates that are being used in some of these pro formas are going to spell pain when you get to the end and you're a passive investor that's waited around for the crumbs, and there won't be any crumbs. If that cap rate is even a point or 2%, 1.5%, 2% higher than what was projected, there is no money left at the end. In fact, you'll be lucky to avoid a capital call. But in any event, it just really puts the stress on being able to decipher the terms and what's going to happen and how many issues you're conceding to the syndicator's, quote, sole discretion. When you look at a private placement memorandum, you might want to pop up a find command in whatever PDF product you're working with and put, quote, sole discretion, end quote, and see how many things pull up, you know, how many hits in that document, so you'll get some idea of what kind of input you might have with respect to that transaction. And you're going to find, may surprise you, you've got very little that you get to provide your input in the form of a vote on. And in fact, many transactions you have no say so. And I know you know, Grant Cardone is a syndicator who's kind of a celebrity type. You've probably heard of him, maybe seen his videos on YouTube, and he's got some status. He's actually interviewed Donald Trump on one or more of his episodes, but he makes it very clear, you know, you're along for the ride. He's kind of akin to George Steinbrenner, the general partner of the Yankees for many, many years, where it was said at times that when you're a limited partner with Steinbrenner, the word limited is the primary word. You have, it might as well be zero input, and that's how Cardone is. And Cardone makes all the decisions. Huge fees, huge overrides go his way, which, again, if you've listened to my show in the past, I don't bemoan fees. I bemoan fees that are paid up front, mainly day zero. That's when you're walking out of closing. and there's a couple million dollars or more going to the syndicator's bank account for putting the deal together. And I just find that distasteful. You know, back in the day, and I'm talking about 2 years, 3 years ago, not a long time, putting the deal together, finding the deal, raising the capital, going and getting the loan, all that was part of why the syndicator was getting anywhere from a 5% to 40%, you heard me right, as much as 40% override. That's what you got that for. And if you think about a deal that's got, I don't know, $20 million in capital being raised, you know, even a 20% promote, which you'll be hard-pressed to find many of those that are less, 20% of 20 million bucks, that's $4 million. $4 million that's being handed effectively in sharing ratio to the syndicator. And that's supposed to compensate, I thought, that's how I always understood it, they're going out in front and forging the trail to a specific project. But now they get that, and they're getting a 1 to 2% acquisition fee, a 1 to 1.5%, maybe 2% debt placement fee, a 1% capital raise fee, a 1 to 2% refinance fee, and then on top of that at the end, likely another 1 to 2% disposition fee. It's millions of dollars that get taken off the top before you've necessarily gotten your money back. Now, every transaction is structured a little differently. In some cases, the syndicators that take the big fees up front don't take any of the distributions that are declared over the interim life of the project until you've gotten either your money or a chunk of your initial investment back. So, you know, when I hear other platforms that don't allow those upfront fees, but they allow the syndicator, the lead partner, as an example, to start participating in distributions with the first dollar that gets distributed to the passives, they're getting their piece. That's no more righteous or moral, as this platform here in Houston says. No, that's just different. That's the difference between a Mac and a PC. It's not, one's not better than the other. It's just different. And as speaking as one that you know, has run both operating systems, and I'm a big Mac fan, but I don't fall for the marketing hype that Apple provides you that, oh, it's easier. You know, no, it's different. And in some cases, it's better. Other cases, it's worse. And you have to look at those pros and cons. And in, just like with the syndicators, you've got to look at the pro forma data. Let's see how they're projecting the profit is going to happen on the transaction in question. And then let's also look at the guys that are paying the fees. And then they're taking back some of the message that they're, or in their messaging on, you know, hey, we're going to pay distributions from the very first quarter. Well, let's look at how much money they're overcapitalizing the deal with, so they've got the funds to start paying you back with your own money. And it's especially bad if they're also getting paid at the outset, which, again, and many times they're not. But, again, these are issues. These are just a couple of the issues that we look at to help you understand, again, what you're getting ready to sign up for if you move forward. And we're going to let you make the final decision. We're all adults. We all will watch our own money better than anybody else you might think of outsourcing that to. And that's not what we do, certainly. We let you make the final decision. We try to provide you with the syndication math and perhaps some tax math involving each transaction where we feel like, okay, you've got the facts. Now what do you want to do? And we will let you pat yourself on the back or smack your face, I guess. If you don't do good, you'll get the credit either way. But anyway, let's take a look. Let's go back to the article. I didn't mean to go very far from it, and I know I get callers, including some of my favorite clients that remind me that I'm a masterful meanderer, I guess is a word, and I forget sometimes from whence I departed. But I was getting ready to talk about the article. It's out on Connect CRE, which is one of the free news sources. You do need to register, I believe, to get actually into the article very far, but there's an article that I believe was just put out here a few days ago. Let's see, when was this one? October 12th, so it's very recent. And in any event, top 10 issues impacting real estate. Boy, the first one's a doozy. Political unrest and global economics. And I don't know if you're counting the Gaza Strip as political or not. And I don't see where they've got the other, let's see, the other top 10 issues. Just looking down the list, I don't see where they've got that mentioned. And I guess, you know, the Gaza Israeli conflict kind of fired up right as this article was likely being written. But if you don't think that's going to affect America, you better pull your head up and understand that America is involved everywhere, either overtly or covertly behind the scenes in these type of conflicts. And in Israel's case, it's overt. We have made it well known of the support the U.S. provides Israel, whether you think it's appropriate or not, or you think we should be sympathetic towards the Palestinians that are there. I don't know that I know enough to know. I know all countries, even ours, do things that if you knew what we've done historically around the world, you might understand a little bit of why we are hated around the world, probably more so than we're loved. And, you know, we don't talk about it clearly until somebody like Ed Snowden or Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, finally drops, you know, a big data dump on us where we see what really happened and how we were lied to or how we misled. And so I'm just telling you, and Donald Trump said it once, and boy, the media made him out to be even more of a criminal than they are now when he said, you know, he was talking about Putin, and he was saying how intelligent he thought Putin was, which, you know, the media took that to mean he was a supporter. I didn't take it that way. I took it for what he said. But in any event, you know, when you look at what Trump said, he said, well, look, you don't think America kills people? You don't think America does bad things? And he's absolutely right. But anyway, that aside, that's going to be a major, I would say that should have been number one. Let's make that number zero on the list of 0 to 10. But anyway, political unrest and global economics, geopolitical rest continues. Okay, they do mention Hamas and Israel in that category, so I agree. Mixed economic signals, boy, I couldn't agree more. And if you didn't see the articles I put up a week or so ago, go look at the one on September 28th. The data prove government is spending too much, or look at the one on October 5th. Rising interest rates mean deficits finally matter. That's a telling article about how long we're going to be in a range where these interest rates stay where they're at or go higher. What people forget, because we've had, what, 10 years or more of low interest rates, is that we're right now at about the historical average if you looked at the last, I don't know, 60 years maybe of what interest rates and inflation, well, not inflation. Inflation is definitely higher than the average. But bottom line is we're not going anywhere south fast on reducing the rates. And the problem is, and these articles discuss a couple of these metrics, there's really some conflicting signals in the markets that usually aren't there when the Fed is seeking to pull the levers or levers that control inflation. And, you know, you can look at the jobs reports, you know, 360,000 jobs, I believe it was, a week ago for the last month. That's a lot of jobs, and it only fuels the prospect of additional inflation because there's a lot of money washing around in the overall economy. So it's going to be interesting to see. But the one thing that I see repeated over and again is that what we've got to strive for, what we hope happens, is higher GDP, because it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the spending that the government does is not going to recede. And so, you know, the two big issues are government spending and GDP that are in large measure the source of inflation and Fed fund rate increases. And unfortunately, doesn't look like what the Fed has done has really done much to assuage those fears. And I hesitate to think what it would be like if we hadn't had 11, I think it's 11 Fed fund rate increases over the last, what, year now? But the problem, again, if you look at the rising interest rates mean deficits finally matter article, you know, the central banks typically are worried about too low inflation and stagnant growth. Well, that's not what we've had. Now, again, we created some of it with the QE or the quantitative easing, but that has allowed the Fed to not worry too much. We, as the quote says from a BlackRock senior executive, we had a blissful 25 years of not having to worry about the problem we have now. And now the central banks are all worried about inflation being too high. And so they've stopped buying, and in some cases they're selling their bond holdings. That would be referred to as quantitative tightening. And all of a sudden, fiscal policy matters. And unfortunately, the type of corrective action we really need is less spending. When's the last time you saw a U.S. Congress spend less? And, you know, we'd be happy if they just didn't go up. In fact, I've got another article out here from a week ago. Let's see. I don't know that I can recall which one it was. It may be, I believe it's the article on 928, the data prove government is spending too much, where they talk about between 2013 2022, the aggregate annual spending by the 50 state governments, excluding federal funds, increased 51%, while the total annual spending rose 69.4% during the decade, more than three times as fast as the 21.6 increase in the rate of population, plus inflation. So if government grows faster than this rate, then it's going to it's growing faster than what the average taxpayer can afford. And I think it's even more telling, had the federal government limited the growth in spending to a maximum of population growth plus inflation during that decade, in 2022, the federal government would have spent $1.6 trillion less than what it did. Maybe Joe Biden read this article, and maybe he's got it in his memory that he cut the deficit by $1.6 trillion, because I hear him say all the time, even now, that he cut it by $1.7 trillion. I nor any other economists have any idea what he's referring to. But in any event, that's problematic. Let's go ahead and take our final break. We'll come back here in a few more minutes with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Okay, well, I was going to say the faster processor.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't going to take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. Woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, this week. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I wanted to finish this article, and then I've got just a little tease about a private partnership opportunity that I'm only going to get a chance to start the discussion this week, and then I think when we come back on Friday at 11 a.m. right here on 700 a.m., KSEV, the voice of Texas, will pick up with that some of the details on that syndication. It is a good case study for us to take a look at. Okay, so we're talking about the 10 ways or the 10 top issues, top 10 issues that may impact real estate, and I would say commercial real estate is our niche, but I think most of these could apply to many categories. Office, if there's any room left for office properties to lose value, yeah, they've gone down 60% now in the last year or so, but the current headwinds can affect many things, but positively in some cases, like number two, return to work versus remote work. And the little synopsis says 58% of workers are back to the office full time. I don't know about that. I've got a lot of clients that aren't even hybrid. They can stay put remotely if they so choose. But anyway, hybrid work is now a thing. There's no question. That's the the conclusion this article gets to. This means corporates are focused more on destination-worthy office space with the necessary amenities. Meanwhile, the population shifts to the suburbs are increasing demand for suburban office space. And I'll take their word for it. I have seen that some. I mean, obviously, in the Houston market, you see more office going up in places like the Woodlands and maybe even as far north up as Conroe. It's been a long time since I've made that drive. Housing shortages and affordability, and boy, that's definitely a thing in most of the top metros. And I know in San Antonio, which is where my real estate is, there is still a lack of supply. And affordability, are you kidding me? We've got condos in San Antonio that are selling at $600 plus a square foot. That is incredible. And that, what is it, seventh largest city in America. Most San Antonians don't even know that statistic. Seventh largest. And I can promise you most of them don't know that condos are going for $600 a square foot. It's insanity. Going on down, data and artificial intelligence is obviously a technology that's going to be impacting real estate. And, you know, I see it with some of the data sources we have. I am amazed at what some of the AI can do, even within our little arena, in terms of converting transcription to audio, or audio to transcription. It's amazing, and it's good. But anyway, why is AI so critical in that aspect? Well, the ongoing labor shortage, which is the fifth reason here, or the fifth factor of that may impact real estate, the lack of skilled, willing and able workers is what's driving the gains we're seeing on the artificial intelligence front. And then also jobs drive real estate or demand for real estate. And I'm going to tell you, again, using San Antonio as the example, San Antonio is one of the leading beneficiaries of the current trend of moving, quote, moving to Texas or Florida. San Antonio would be at the top of that list. It's no longer Austin. Austin, unfortunately, is moving to the top of the homeless list problem. It's projected to be the next San Francisco. And I have it on good authority from friends that live in Austin, and they know the areas that are affected, that's absolutely a correct projection that we had in an article a while back. I think it's still out on our site. Population migration is the sixth issue, and people are increasingly looking for areas where housing is more affordable. The cost of housing is up everywhere, and affordable housing, I'm not even sure definitionally. I presume it's different. I know it's different. Means different things, but we see, quote, affordable units being constructed that cost $200,000, $250,000 a door in the multifamily space. That's crazy. And, you know, your money will buy you a lot at $200,000 and $250,000. Liquidity and interest rates, huge factor on the, especially, well, all sectors, commercial, office, industrial, residential. Liquidity is tightening as banks are pulling back from the commercial real estate exposure. And at the same time, the Fed Reserve continues increasing the effective federal funds rate. So it's been shaking up both commercial and residential real estate markets and creates a drag on transaction activity. So the low supply is in part affected by the interest rates, because more sellers would be in the market if they didn't have to go find their own new accommodations. unlike the office market, you know, when you're talking about residential, you've got to find a place to sleep tonight. You don't have to find a place to office tomorrow as long as you've got an internet connection in many industries. Now, admittedly, there are still industries that you have to have a central meeting point or have a bunch of remote activity like a FedEx truck or UPS truck, things like that. That's more of a physical model. The remaking of supply change that started as a result of disruptions during the pandemic have led to planning and building of more resilient, efficient supply chains. The industrial real estate market is very strong. A lot of warehouse space, distribution type space, etc. The property price resets are a big impact on primarily commercial real estate. The cost of capital increases, cap rates and property values decrease as the cost of capital increases. And that's what I was mentioning earlier. When you look at a seller that's selling because they can't get a property refinanced, if you're selling at a higher cap rate than what it was 3-4 years ago, your property value, your sales price will go down. So the big impact, and that's why I harp on that issue. When you're on the front end, you've got to look and see that the projected exit cap rate is adequately high enough to counter that, because otherwise you get there and there's no money left by the time you pay off the mortgage. Hopefully you can pay off the mortgage. And then lastly, number 10 is the aging infrastructure and repair needs. And even though the IRA, well, wait a minute, wasn't the IRA, I'm sorry, it was the Bipartisan Infrastructure and Jobs Act of 2022 provided funding for our aging infrastructure. But bottom line is we've got to do something to sustain the U.S. prosperity through the 21st century. But I'd tell you that's a drop in the bucket compared to what we need to do to stem the deficits. But anyway. Okay, well, we've only got about a minute left. Let me tell you real quick about this transaction. Uh-oh, I hear the music. Okay, Friday we will discuss a Cincinnati location, a couple hundred unit property, 1988 build, $129,000 a door, and it's got a great debt structure of a fixed, assumable 8-year debt remaining, and it's one that would be worth looking at if you're eligible to participate. Okay, we'll be back Friday at 11 a.m. right here on 700 a.m. KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for tuning in today.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.